This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, April 30th, 2017. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Thomas Rozelle Live. We are live in studio today on this warm Virginia Sunday.
It's nice outside.
It's nice outside, but it's warm. And I, of course, have a guest in here. Dr. Rozelle is out of town. We sent him back for schooling. He's in Arizona.
I like that.
He had to learn some more about nutrition, I believe. And I think he took Sue with him this time, too. So they definitely are having a good time in Arizona, where it's even warmer, probably.
Probably.
But as you can guess, and already here, in studio with me today is Dr. Matthew Adams, who is going to be your guest lecturer tonight, or not tonight, well, today, and then also on Wednesday night, May 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Rozelle Center for Healing. And he's going to be discussing a topic that we keep going over and over because it's important, and the implications of it keep growing as well, too. And what's interesting is that more and more people, one out of four people, actually suffer from this. And it costs more than $1 billion every year to treat. Can you guess what it is? You don't get to guess, Dr. Adams.
I don't get to guess.
Because you already
okay.
know. So what it is headaches and migraines. So a growing trend, obviously, nowadays is to treat things, hopefully, without non-pharmaceutical, without drugs and surgery, as we always talk about here, you try and applied. So Dr. Adams is going to tackle headaches and migraines this Wednesday night. So you need to call and sign up because I have a feeling it's going to be a full one. Welcome, Dr. Adams.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
We're back in here again. We kicked him out. We did. We're taking over.
We've done this together quite a few times, I think.
We have. I think we should still bring him back next week, though.
Yeah, like, yeah,
I think
definitely.
People want Dr. Rozelle, so, you know, I think I'm willing to give up the radio mic. So we're going to talk headaches and migraines today, everything about it. We're going to look at it, of course, from the triad of health, which those of you who have been listening for a while know that makes up the structural, biochemical, mental, emotional aspects of it, and why headache is not just a pain in your head. Boy, there's other things that are involved with it. And, of course, we're going to take your calls live here. If you've got a call for Dr. Adams and I, please give us a call here, 1-888-630-9625. 1-888-630-9625. And if you want to sign up for the lecture on Wednesday night, you can call the office. If you haven't been to the office, know that we moved. We're 8500 Executive Park Avenue, Suite 300 in the new building. You come see this bright, shiny new place with TVs all around. There's not a bad seat in the house. But you can call the office at 703-698-7117. So Dr. Adams, headaches and migraines. Why don't you kick it off?
Headaches and migraines. I like how you brought up the triad of health to start off with, because that's really what I want to focus on. The triad, structural, chemical, and emotional. That's a big thing that we do in our practice is to work with those things. So to start off with the structural thing, I think that's probably the most common cause of people's headaches. Is when I say structural, I mean basically something pushing on a nerve or a vessel. A lot of times it's from the neck. And most people don't realize that these structural things happen. They're things that have been happening for years. Most of us have fallen I look back at my childhood. I've had a lot of headshots over the years, which accumulate. And that accumulation of those things causes damage to the spine or causes things to shift, and we start to develop headaches over time. It starts to pinch on the nerves. So that's one way you got to look at it. So you can look at major traumas. Other headaches, a lot of people right now are in their cars and they're sitting in traffic and they're stressed out because they're driving, and people are, someone's cutting them off right at this moment. So that builds up and you get the stress from that. And then the chemical part, the other thing going on right now is allergies, and that tends to cause sinus congestion. It tends to cause other things, and at least the headaches too. So there's all these different avenues of stuff bombarding our system, causing headaches. And the fun part is figuring out what is the cause so that we can fix it and get it better, and helping you, the listener or whoever, figure out what the cause is for them so they can get rid of these pesky headaches.
Well, one of the things I always thought was interesting about headaches and migraine, and you bring up the word kind of blockage and kind of clearing the blockage or figuring out the cause of it, which is a very holistic way of looking at it, is sometimes the headache itself is the signal or the first symptom that someone experiences that there's something else going on in the body. It's not just, is there pressure or tightness around my head? It's, it has to come from somewhere. And so it has to be developing over time. And when we, and what's interesting about chronic headaches and migraines is I looked up the definition, and we talk about chronic disease or disease illnesses and stuff. Usually people have had to suffer it for 3 months. And what's interesting is that for headaches and migraine, it's so common that if you've had it for 15 days in a month, then it's a chronic headache. So what are these chronic signals that the body is trying to tell us? And if we're not looking at the biochemical, structural, mental, emotional aspects of it, which we tend to ignore, we like to focus on the structural, definitely can be giving us a signal that something's still not going right. How do we need to identify them?
Yeah, I mean, any of those pain signals, that's the thing is, there's so many times we get signals and we just ignore them all the time. And then, or we have it and everybody else talks about having headaches or whatever. So we assume that's normal and that it's okay. But it's not. It's not okay. So you get, headaches. I mean, pain in the back of the head going up to the front. You've got pain behind the eye. You've got pain in the temples on the sides. So those are all different signs of different kinds of headaches. So your typical, we call cervicogenic headache. That's basically a big word for saying it's coming from the neck, or tension headache. You'll usually feel that coming around the back of the head. And a lot of people mistake that for migraines just because it hurts so bad. But you've got muscles and ligaments in there that can get overstretched or get tight. And that causes some of those. And you get, headaches that come behind the eye, like a piercing one. That can be a migraine or something called a cluster headache. Or you could even have problems with the jaw that's causing headaches over there, and people forget that's there. And then you can get headaches maybe when you wake up in the morning. And that could be due to your blood sugar or your thyroid. Or maybe you get headaches if you don't drink enough water. And that could just be all around. So there's so many things to look at. So when you have a headache, you really need to pay attention where the pain is. Because I'll ask people, well, where's your headache? And they'll say, look at me kind of funny, like, well, it's in my head. I'm like, well, yes.
No knee headaches, yeah. As far as I know, right?
Yeah. Okay, well, we understand that part. Where in your head is the headache? And they have to really think about it, because a lot of times we don't. We just know my head hurts. And then once we start asking these questions, then we can kind of work our way down and pinpoint where it's coming from. But that's, yeah, anytime you have a signal from your body, just like I always use this, the check engine light term in your car. I mean, the good thing about your car is you could plug a device in and it gives you a reading and says where it's coming from. Unfortunately, we don't have those devices in our clinic to plug into your brain to tell us where things are coming from. That would be a lot easier sometimes.
It would.
But so we have to rely on asking tons and tons of questions to pinpoint where the cause is. So I don't know how well I answered your question of.
You did good.
You did good. I tried.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up the dehydration headache. So with this big change of seasons right now that we're having in the Virginia area and probably across the country as well, too, it's hot and cold and hot and cold. And so things are in bloom. You've got pollens out there. But one of the things that I always told my patients going into this weekend, knowing that it's going to be in the 80s and it was like practically the 50s earlier in the week, is the fact that you don't realize how dehydrated in your fluid balance, what's going on, because you don't feel thirsty. So people don't drink enough water, and they're also not looking at putting any kind of electrolytes in there to replace the salts and stuff that helps maintain your water balance. So if you get more and more dehydrated, that can actually lead to some pretty severe headaches. In fact, it happened to me twice when I was traveling. I was in Texas and not used to their weather storm system, so the barometric pressure was playing in. I was on the road, so we talked about travel a couple weeks ago, and so the food is not the same, the drinking water is not the same, everything was not the same, and all of a sudden, middle afternoon, my headaches started kicking in with nausea, vomiting, fatigue, what mood changes, everything started to happen, the auras and stuff as well too. So that was related to the actual traveling and not preparing myself the best. That happens quite a bit, I would think, but most people just assume they ate something bad or it's got to come from somewhere else. So we're seeing a lot of these other aspects of headaches come into the clinic that don't respond to treatment and medication because they're not really addressing the cause, or the female headache, the hormonal headache, the one that gets worse right before a period or during a period. And once the period starts, their hormones start to change. So if you don't balance the hormones, the real issue and cause of it, you're still going to deal with it over and over and over again. And unfortunately, some of the medications that are given for that, like birth control pills, only add to it as well, too. And any kind of rebound headaches that people have when they're coming off of some of the headache medications are very much an issue that we see as well, too.
Yeah, that's where you really have to look at all different aspects. And that goes not only just, you know, missing the hormone one because you're focusing on other things, but even we have patients come in that have headaches and they assume, you know, we'll look at x-rays, we assume it's all coming from the neck, and we work on that and it gets better, but because we focus so much on multiple different aspects of the body in our clinic, we quickly realize, you have a sensitivity to this particular food that keeps causing your headache. You know, yes, we made a difference with the adjustments with your neck to help support that, and that's gotten much better, but this is causing it now. And you can never go, in my experience, you can never go and look at something just from one point of view. You have to look at it from different points of view. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, we'll bring up a different point of view of the hormones, like you said, but then you can't just focus on the hormones because you got to figure out that gets more complicated because you got to figure out what's going on with the hormones and then what's causing the hormones and work you all the way back. And that's the detective part of what we do and what we're trying to figure out. What's causing all this stuff?
Well, what I think is interesting too is we both treat headaches in the office. And what's funny is I might look at that same box differently at a different angle than you do, and they complement each other. And so we put it in there. But what's also funny is sometimes you think, some of these kind of medications and stuff, the over-the-counter medications, especially the stuff that contains caffeine, is promoting, it's going to help with headaches because it's going to open up and vasodilate your blood vessels so you get more blood flow going to the head, which can also make things a whole lot worse. So you have to know how to balance where that headache is, what it's doing, what the cause is, and look at it from a couple of different perspectives. One of the things that always structurally impressed me was the fact that people don't realize that there are blood vessels going through the cervical region of the neck and how those can actually relate to some of the blood flow that goes to the head too. So even just a simple cervical adjustment can have a lot to do with treating a headache. We're going to be back in just a couple of seconds. It's already time for the first break. It's going quickly. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. If you have a question you want to call in, give us a call here, 1-888-630-9625. We'll be back in just a couple of seconds. And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. We are live in studio here on a nice, hot, sunny day, Sunday, in Virginia. And I am in the studio here tonight, or today, I don't even know what time it is, it's so dark, with Dr. Matt Adams. And we're talking migraines and headaches. Boy, I might walk out of here with one at this point. And we wanted to talk about a different aspect of it that most people don't think, because we think of the adult headache all the time. But if you think about it, 12% of the population suffers from migraines. And that includes roughly about 18% women, 6% men, and 10% children. So when we're talking about this, these headaches and migraines can last anywhere between 4 to 72 hours. They can be chronic. They can be aggressive. They can be felt all over the side of the head. But 4 million people have chronic daily headaches. And so one of those, you know, subsets that doesn't really get the recognition is children. And Dr. Adams, you have young children. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we see come into the clinic is sometimes headaches are a part of all the symptoms that might be coming in, and a child's not going to say, well, I drove to work today and someone cut me off and that created stress, and their stressors are a little bit different. But treating children and also treating migraines and headaches with children can be a very different situation than with adults.
Yeah, I find with my children, headaches usually come when it's time for us to put them to bed, or they don't want to do what we want them to do. No, I'm just kidding. So with headaches with kids, in my experience in the office, you know, when I start asking questions, a lot of times with kids, it seems to happen at the same time every day, with a lot of them. And the couple of experiences I've had, I had one child come in and he would have a headache a lot of times when he'd wake up in the morning, and it would seem to kind of go away after he ate breakfast and things. And then he would have a headache when he came home from school. And the more we talked and more we kind of found out, it was had more to do with the things he was eating, and it had to do with the fact that he was going long periods without eating. And so we had to work out some ways, and they're doing better with schools now. They're doing snacks and things like that, which is helpful. But for him, it had a lot to do with some food sensitivities and his blood sugar, because he would go too long without eating, and that would be about that time coming home from school. He'd come home, have a headache, eat, lay down, and it would go away. And so once you start to deduct, okay, it's happening this time, this is the reason, we were able to help his headache go away. I've had other children who've had headaches that have, you know, been playing sports, and they've had concussions, which is unfortunately very prevalent now in sports, probably because we are more aware of them, or have fallen and done things. And so there's structural things that we have to work with to work with their headaches. I've also, you know, nowadays here in this area, there's a lot of pressure on kids. And I have seen a lot of, unfortunately, kids, you know, we get middle school and high school that are starting to clench their teeth and grind. And so I've had kids that I've had to work on their jaw and the muscles in their jaw, and work on ways to help them with the stressors from school and from life, unfortunately, at a young age. And that sometimes has to do with some supplements to help calm the system and help with the nervous system. So there's some different things that, yeah, we don't think about kids. We just think of adults having stress, and we think of adults having blood sugar issues. But a lot of kids have these problems too.
And what's interesting too is they may not necessarily come and say, you know, I'm seeing these auras or getting these flashes of lights and stuff. They're not, they may or may not be able to vocally express what they're really feeling, other than, you know, it hurts, this is where it is, especially if they're a lot younger.
Yeah, especially young kids, yeah.
You know, and we see this also with the digestive tie-in too, you know, different foods that are introduced either too early and causes inflammation. So now there's a stomach ache with it, or the stressors of going to school, like you mentioned. I mean, I've treated a number of younger girls who have come in, and because, you know, there's changes in life happening and there's social pressures and all this stuff is going on, and they feel like they can't handle it. So their muscles get tighter and tighter and tighter. Of course, now they're not allowed to go out and play as much as they did, or they're very active, like you said, with sports. So a lot of that time, it's got to go somewhere, and it just kind of builds up inside. And then next thing you know, headaches are one of the first signals that something's going on, needs to change.
Yeah, and you mentioned the stomach kind of tie-in. Whenever we have a lot of stress like that, that affects our digestive system too. And there's some major tie-ins between our gut and intestinal health and our brain and our headaches. And they're doing more and more studies that show that if we have irritation in the gut, it activates certain areas in the brain, like our immune system and so forth. It activates those areas, and that can be causing headaches too. So many people don't realize who are having chronic headaches, and maybe they are going to a chiropractor and they are getting adjusted and it helps them, but it just keeps coming back. Well, they may be having an intestinal issue that they need to get corrected in order to help that headache get fixed. Again, where, you know, you can't focus on one area. You've always got to look at the big picture and focus on those things. And so stress is not only causing muscle tension, but it's also causing digestive issues. And so you have to fix, okay, how do I fix the intestinal tract, but also how do I work on and help support my body with the stress attack to help all these things at the same time.
Right. No matter if you're a big kid or a little kid.
Yes, if you're a big kid or a little kid. I like it.
Well, one of the interesting things, too, as I was going to say, is that, you know, we take for granted when we that things are going to go away on their own. And so when they don't go away on their own, that's when we really have to start looking at what's worked for me, what hasn't worked for me. And, you know, medications that are out there, there's a lot of different ones that they used for headaches, you know, everything from blood pressure regulators to help decrease some of that throbbing to anti-nausea medications. And, you know, I've seen even epileptic seizure medication given for headaches. So we're going to continue to talk about natural things you can do for headaches and migraine, which is the topic this Wednesday night, May the 3rd, at the Roselle Center for Healing, presented by Matthew Adams. If you want to reserve your seat, give us a call, 703-698-7117. We will be back after this short break.
Dr. Tom Roselle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Roselle Live. We are live in studio. This is Stephanie Pina, licensed acupuncturist and naturopath, and I am here with Dr. Matthew Adams, chiropractor. We both work at the Roselle Center for Healing. And Dr. Adams, is your presenter this Wednesday night on this hot topic that we're talking about, headaches and migraines. We continue to bring this education to the public, one, because they need to know more options and understand how to get more involved with their own health. But the other thing is that they need to understand that a headache is not simply a pain in their head or their neck or their shoulders or wherever they're feeling it. And all the fun that goes with it, the throbbing, the piercing, the vision changes, you name it. But understanding why that stuff's going on and why it's a signal for some things that might be a little bit more chronic that we've had to deal with. So far we talked about children. We've talked about the structural, biochemical, and mental, emotional part. Let's talk a little bit more about some of the treatment options that are out there that people kind of run into. And just like we were hearing on the commercial, we were talking about the importance of sleep and the immune system and chronic inflammation. Why would headaches be essentially a great signal for someone to pay attention to because they have issues going on?
Well, because your brain is there. So that's a pretty high priority to figure out why your head hurts, because your brain's up there. There's a lot of blood vessels that go up there, and so if you have headaches, you need to be concerned because you may have something putting pressure on the blood vessels go up, and we want to make sure we have enough blood flow to the brain. So anytime we limit blood flow, that's a bad thing. Nerves, again, if you've got headache and because the nerves go up there, well, those nerves are coming from areas in the neck oftentimes. And if you're getting pain there, that means that something is not moving right. The problem with that is if you let that go, when you don't adhere to those signals that are coming, you start to build up further degeneration in the neck, and you start to lose this natural curve that our body is supposed to have. And so then you lead to disc bulges, you lead to degeneration to where you become bone on bone, and if you don't take care of it, eventually you have to end up having surgery or something like that, which we don't want. And so that's why you need to really pay attention to the headache from a neck or structural perspective. And then we go back, we talked about hormones and things. If you have headaches that are coming, let's say once a month, you know, a woman's having that with hormones, you need to figure out, well, why am I getting headaches once a month around this time? Well, that's a sign that maybe there's some hormone imbalance that you need to get fixed. And because if you let that go, you work with a lot of women with hormone problems. That could become a major issue if you let it go a long time, because things really, really start changing and getting out of, I don't know, I want to say out of whack, but that's not a very good doctor-like term. But that causes a lot of problems for your body, but also your livelihood, your way of life. Let's see, what am I missing? I feel like there's just so many intricate things that are going on in the body that your headache, and for me, it's like, I don't get headaches very often, and I can usually kind of pinpoint what it's coming from. And that's one of the biggest signs that gets me motivated to do something, I think, because it hurts. I don't know.
Pain is usually a
good
sign to do that.
It
yes.
is. And somehow there's millions of people who live with this on a regular basis. And I don't understand how, because I get a headache once in a blue moon, and you can ask my wife. I don't function. I'm pretty much out of it. And there's people who have this every day. I don't know how they deal with it. And my plea to them is, you know, figure out what's going on, or give us an opportunity, or wherever you live, look at the different options, because I don't know how they deal with it, really.
And it really shouldn't be something that we dealt with.
No.
It should be something that's at least investigated and seen what hasn't worked in the past, why is it not working correctly, and how does it have to be looked at differently?
Yeah, I mean, there's a solution out there. To me, if you're getting a headache once a week, that's a bad thing. You know, I talk to patients, and they're like, I'm like, do you get headaches? Nah, every once in a while. And I'm like, okay, what does once in a while mean? For somebody, that could mean once a month, which is still a problem. But some people are like, oh, maybe once or twice a week. I'm like, that's not good. I have to look at them and, like, make eye contact and just be like, do you understand that that's not a good thing? And they usually look at me confused, like, oh, that's not normal. And so with anything in the body, if there's a signal coming out that's saying, hey, I'm hurting or I have pain or something, like, you need to investigate, because things will break down over time. That happens.
Yeah. I always tell my patients, you know, or anyone I talk to, you know, pay attention to yourself, which is something that doesn't seem to happen a lot. Like, we get so used to things that it doesn't seem to happen. But the more you pay attention to these little differences on when anything happens, any symptom happens, the more you can start to realize, you know, maybe this is related to something I just ate, or the fact I haven't eaten, or it's happening at a certain time of the month, or I've been working way longer hours than I'm used to treating, and I know I should have stopped at a certain time. And we have a patient that we co-treat. That's one of the things that she particularly notices is when she works longer hours past a certain amount of time, and then she can't get the sleep right, her headaches will start to build and build and build. And then she might get a little relief when she goes into the weekend because she doesn't have that work stress. But then come Monday morning, here it comes again, because she knows it's going to be a rat race till the very end. So we have to look at how do stress reduction also play around with, okay, this is the location of where it hurts. What are you doing lifestyle-wise? Are you taking time for yourself to relax? Are you taking time to get exercise and energy? Are you moving blood flow? Are you eating the right things? All those things kind of play into it, and they seem like such simple answers, but a lot of the times giving ourselves that break can be enough to let those muscles relax and kind of stop the headache as well, too.
Or just drinking a little bit of water and improve it, or, you know, seeing a chiropractor to make sure that the joints and neck are not putting pressure on the blood vessel. You know, Dr. Rizzell talks about Sue when they first met, and that's what, one of the reasons that got him into chiropractic, is she had severe migraines and doctors wanted to fuse her neck, and he went to a chiropractor and was able to relieve pressure on those blood vessels, and her migraines went away. Which, I mean, we get, you know, nowadays with myself, I see headaches all the time, and it's really neat to see them go away, and a lot of times very quickly. And sometimes we take for granted that people don't realize that they can get that kind of relief from, you know, what may seem simple, but a major shift in the body with the immune system and nervous system and the blood vessels. You talked about the tension and stress. Many people out here are sitting at computers all day, and we don't realize that it's putting our neck in a bad position, and it's putting a lot of tension on our necks. Maybe not just from the stress, but just from the position we're in, sitting at a computer or sitting in your car. And so I see a lot of patients that have a lot of tension in their necks. And a lot of times it's not just tightness. It's more of a tautness, I tell them, because it's stretching. It's being overstretched. And so doing things from a chiropractic perspective to support that, and then also working with them to reduce those stressors or help their body handle it better, like you said, makes a huge difference. But I guess be aware, you know, do something about it. Don't just live with this all the time.
Exactly. And never one pill fits all, because we could talk about this also with natural medicine, and there are different herbs like, you know, butterbur, using different anti-inflammatories like quercetin to help with allergies, to move stuff. And if that's not the main cause, then it certainly could help other areas of chronic inflammation. But really, you need to address things specific to you and to your causes. And that's when we have to look outside of just what can I get on the shelves and what kind of medication has a little caffeine and I'm better after I have a coffee, or I'm better after I have something with caffeine in there, or just get something sugary into my system. So that's why you need to come to the lecture on Wednesday night.
That's right.
Dr. Adams. So we're going to go to the phones right now. Richard, how can we help you?
Hello. Okay. I listen to you guys, or listen to Tom Rizzo frequently. cautionary tale. Males or anybody with chronic pain that they know is a nerve pain, and they know there's nothing physically wrong with them and they're not hurting anything by enduring the pain. You never know what's going to happen. What happened to me was I was gritting my teeth so hard for so long. We're talking 20 years. I drove my fillings in my teeth into my teeth farther, and I ended up splitting 4 molars from fillings over a period of about 10 years. I had to get caps and all that stuff. But so even if you know there's nothing physically wrong with you, it's just nerve pain, you never know what's going to happen, chronic pain.
Good story. Like, yeah. I mean, not that that's a good thing that it happened to you. I mean, but one of the things is I think that that's a great way of looking into, there could be, you know, you could take all the x-rays you want, but one of the interesting things is when that grinding happens, that's an issue right there that should be addressed. And we tend to work through it. And then after 25 years, yeah, I'm not surprised additional things started to happen as well, too. And, you know, we have Dr. Chung on here all the time that talk about TMJ issues and stuff, too, and how that can actually throw off the jaw and affect the dentures. And it's one thing, too. It should be addressed pretty quickly when you notice that something's been going on for a while to help prevent stuff like this.
Yeah, thanks for that call, Richard.
Yeah,
that's I have a patient that kind of, maybe not with the fillings, but I had a patient that they had headaches, and they wake up with them because of the grinding and tension. And so we've had to work, you know, with different things with their pillow to get it in the proper position. We've had to work with some, you know, nutritional things to support how they handle stress, because oftentimes your body perceiving stress causes the tension, and you got to look at stress, not just emotional, but also structural and chemical, and also align the jaw. And that has made a huge difference in their headaches as well, because they've been to many chiropractors and they've had adjustments, but it was coming from higher up in the jaw and the bones around the skull, which we don't have a lot of time to talk about, but how it affects all those things. So he's exactly right. Even if you look at an x-ray and it looks great, it's coming from somewhere else, and you've got to keep searching and keep looking until you find it.
Exactly. There's a weird statistic that I found out that had to do with, you know, visually looking for things. And in the U.S., for headache sufferers, receive over $1 billion worth of brain scans every year trying to figure out and identify what's going on with their headaches. If you're identifying and you're not seeing anything after $1 billion, where else could it possibly be coming from? Because the great thing about those scans too is there are those emergency headaches, those very, very severe headaches that we think of things like infections, like meningitis, when you have to go in and it's life threatening. But a lot of times people are kind of dealing with these chronic dull headaches or headaches that come along with chronic pain. So if we're not addressing the rest of the body, you may not visually see something that comes and goes. You can't see blood flow on an x-ray. You can only see where the structure of the bones are and stuff as well, too. So in Chinese medicine, one of the most interesting things that I try to do, especially for the patient that comes in and has more of the pulsing headache or sinus headache and stuff, and they have more of that pressure in the head, I don't go and treat the head itself. I actually go to their feet, and I treat points that are on their feet to pull that extra blood kind of away from their head and to rebalance the rest of the system. It sounds very odd to do that, but what's interesting is that you're rebalancing the rest of the body from a cardiovascular perspective, not even talking and looking at the energetics of this. But a lot of those points are digestive points as well, too. They have to deal with muscle strain, gallbladder points that are on the tops of your shoulders. Those points are on the feet, and so then all of a sudden they'll kind of feel their headaches kind of start to go away. So it can definitely be used in conjunction with chiropractic, digestive, looking what's going on with the digestive tract, looking for other inflammatory markers, because I always say when you have more inflammation going on in the body, it likes to find your weak spot.
Yeah.
And someone's weak spot might be their head, someone's weak spot may be their joint, someone's weak spot may be their digestive tract. So when that keeps happening, if we don't treat that and we try to strengthen that weak spot, it's going to constantly be an area of interest for us.
Well, what other acupuncture points begin or end around the head if you name the different ones, because they're named after different organs that you have to think about?
Well, when you think about what goes to the head is you have the urinary bladder, which basically helps support all the muscles of your back. You have the stomach meridian, which goes all the way down. So it starts underneath your eyes and goes all the way down to the bottom of near your feet. You have the liver. You have the gallbladder, so points of both chemical and mental emotional detoxification. All these points, there's six main meridians that are going up through parts of the head. They're ones that end over by the jaw and the teeth, so people that usually have more temporal headaches or they notice that after clicking and grinding, all that stuff will happen as well there too. So you'd want to treat away from the area and then have them kind of see how does it change over time. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we know that there's allergy issues going on there. So people will come in and they'll have pressure that goes even all the way out to their ears. A lot of times I'll ask them, if you're getting these headaches or this pressure, do your ears pop now? Or is there a change in hearing? Because that mucus accumulates within the skull and that eustachian tube and can't drain. And then if we're eating something that creates more phlegm and mucus, like a lot of times dairy products tend to do this, foods that we might have sensitivities tend to do this, it can't go out. Now it's producing more. And that mucus, to some extent, is there for a normal reason, right? We want to flush out stuff, but when it can't move, that's where there's a problem. So we want to kind of try to balance that from a structural standpoint, but also to kind of get the blood flowing the way we want it to move as well.
Yeah, bringing up allergies, lately I've had more patients coming in with the weather changes, and I do a lot of work inside the mouth with the palate to open those bones up and get things moving. And you talk about the ear, there's things we can do with the ears. And so the bones around the skull actually move a little bit as we breathe and help regulate pressure. And so you have to look at that too, especially nowadays with sinus congestion and pressure, which we haven't talked too much about, but with allergies, I wanted to make sure we bring that up too for people listening.
We'll get back to that in just a couple of minutes. We're going to take our last and quick break. If you have a question, this is your chance. 1-800-888-630-9625. And then sign up for Dr. Adams' lecture also on Wednesday, May 3rd, 703-698-7117. We'll be back in just a moment.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rosell Live. We are live in studio again for this last little section, and we are talking headaches and migraine, and is it all in your head or is it not in your head? That is going to be part of what Dr. Adams is going
to
go over.
I need to make sure I put that on the PowerPoint. I like
think that needs to go right on the front.
Yes.
And then make sure you quote that I said that, because
exactly.
I want credit. Otherwise, it's no go. That's just going to give more people headaches. So, Dr. Adams, before we take this quick call, can you just go over, I know we've been talking all day about headaches and stuff, but what are some of those aspects that you think that people definitely need to bring either friends with or bring themselves in to make sure that they hear on Wednesday night?
If you have them, if you get headaches at work, if you get headaches when you drive, if you get headaches if you smell perfume, if you get headaches from car, if you get headaches from allergies, I mean, anything you can think of or you know somebody that gets those, whether it's every day or whether it's once a week or once a month, it's not good. It's something to check into, and you need to find out what it is. And we're going to talk about those things and come up with solutions and things to think about so that you can get rid of these naturally.
Yeah, we could go on and on about like the environmental toxins and when people have smell sensitivities and light sensitivities and everything else that goes into. But we'll leave that for another lecture.
Yeah.
That's like an ageless health type of lecture right there.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a longer lecture. So we're going to the phones. Ina, how can we help you?
Ina, are you there?
Yes.
How can we help you? Thanks for calling in.
I would like to know about facet disease that causes headaches.
Can you say that one more time?
Facet disease.
Oh, facet. Okay.
Facet, I'm sorry.
Yes. So facets are the joints on your spine that kind of glide back and forth on each other to help you tilt your head back and look up and down. If your spine is out of alignment over time, you get too much pressure on those facet joints and they start to add more bone and they start to get spurs. And that's what causes headaches, because eventually it can start pinching on nerves. So that's what facet syndrome is, or facet disease. So the way you prevent that is you work with your posture, one. If it's already got to a point, you work with your chiropractor to help things and get in better motion so it's not pinching on those nerves. And then you have to support your inflammation internally so that your body doesn't build up more bone due to pain and inflammation around the area. There's a lot of ways to fix that. But that's what facet disease are. And I see a lot of patients and with facet problems. It's definitely something that can be supported and that can be resolved.
Well, thank you for the call. Again, going back to the structural part, but
definitely how
it can affect everything else as well, too. So one of the interesting things I think also when we think about headaches and migraines is the fact that, like I said, everyone feels them differently. They're in different spots. So even if it is a blood sugar issue, which hypo, low blood sugar can be just as much, if not more of an issue and not diagnosed than hyper and having when people think about diabetes. But when we think about what's going in and what's coming out of the body from that chemical, mental, emotional, structural aspects of it, it all has to be taken into place because those triggers can be so minute that, but when you get exposed to it over and over and over again, which we tend to be in this pattern of life like that, certainly can be a part of it. And then looking at the different ages, children all the way up are going to respond very differently to certain treatments and also going to respond to a practitioner very differently. We have to take that into consideration as well.
Yeah, headaches can just, you know, it can be scary because a simple thing that you think it's simple, but it could be something major. At the same time, you could think it's something major because of the pain, but it could be something simple. So, it's definitely something that you have to address. You have to look at, like we said, because the brain, the blood vessels, a lot of important things up in the head that you've got to look at. So, you know, please think about it, be aware, get it checked out and find out what's going on with your headaches.
Well, we're just about out of time, but I want to make sure you call the office, 703-698-7117. This is probably going to be a packed house, so reserve your seat for Wednesday night, May 3rd, to listen to Dr. Adams cover headaches and migraines. Next week, Dr. Rozelle will be back in the studio, all educated and learned, and have that nutrition under his belt. And thank you for joining us again.
Bye.